Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Wake up now, please, no more snoring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning. They're the station, sleepy morning team. Jim and Tommy in the morning. The most meh duo you have ever seen.
There's a video stream now, so you can see that.
After a break and one's not back, they're on the toilet, probably.
I don't know if we can say that.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's a pre-flight and it's morning. Jim will hide behind his giant screen.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
They'll crack some jokes. Tommy will hum the theme.
It's a pre-flight and it's morning.
Jim will come to break some news.
Unless this is different year.
Pat St. John is the weather dude.
Maybe.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's a pre-flight and it's morning. Where's Al Brian? This is boring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning.
I do love that theme.
Yes.
Oh, so good. I do like how they made it evergreen, too. That was possibly my favorite. Like, maybe.
Unless this is a different year.
A couple clarifying statements in there. But
right.
This is the morning pre-flight on EA Radio, 6:04 a.m.
And, once more into the breach.
Yeah. Day 7.
Dun, dun, dun.
To steal a quote from AirVenture today, what a week.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been a, and I'm probably going to curse the heck out of us with a storm coming in later today, but it's been a rather uneventful week in terms of bad news. So, you know, there's been a lot of good things happening. We don't have a lot of major issues that we've had to deal with thus far, both, you know, as a, you know, radio station and as a, oh, you know, event. It's been calm. I mean,
yep. I the bubblegum, duct tape, and thread are holding it together.
I think Dick Nowitzki's had a easier year than most. So
yes, I would argue we have too.
Yeah,
I was talking to someone last night and just commenting on this may have been the smoothest year I've had here.
Yeah.
The least amount of stress I've been under. It's been a great week.
See, I'm in the office more. I'm actually doing more work here.
Yes.
See?
Yes. I know. I noticed that. I've commented to several people that I've actually seen Jim this year.
My God,
and
he's actually
been
working.
Doing things.
I'm not just the pretty face of the organization.
God help us if that was your only role. So.
Yeah.
So, no, it's been good. It's been a really good week.
Plus, yeah, absolutely.
So many cool things going on. I, you know, and as always, I wish I had time to see more of them, but spent a lot of time watching the air show last night and then running back to hit my break and then watching the air show some more.
I saw you post some pictures of the night show.
Mm-hmm. Alan definitely, Alan was here working on a project late, and he must have heard me open and close the door about 20 times.
Right. The land rush for the night show was an interesting sight to be seen.
Yeah, I was concerned how that went. What was your experience?
Okay, I did not experience it directly. I don't know if you, were you here when I had to run back with the person to first aid?
No.
So unrelated to this, so we were about to move up for the night show, and I had brought so we have our team there that's taking pictures and video, shooting video right in the corner on the front line, and they were going to move up to, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, and one of the security people come running up to me. They're like, do you know, because I had a cart.
Okay,
do you know where first aid is? I'm like, yeah, it's literally right next to my office here on field. And they're like, is this your card? Yeah. Like, can you transport this person? And I turn over there, and there's this person that is just gushing blood out of their nose.
Fun.
Yeah. Had some sort of surgery. I think it was and cauterized the inside there, and it completely broke loose.
Oof.
Yeah. So they're just cussing. So in that crowd that was trying to, like, rush up to the front line, I had a cart trying to go the opposite direction with this person that's bleeding all over themselves. So I
enjoy your breakfast, folks.
I turned into like the world's smallest and slowest ambulance. Take this person back to first aid on a cart.
Wee, wee.
I'll tell you what, for the first time, I was being a jerk with the cart. So if you're on Whitman wondering why was this cart going the wrong way in a crowd, which we never drive on Whitman,
no.
Especially during like the air show, honking the horn. And you know, people would get like, you know, offended. And
until they
turn and they're like, what the
bloody rags and a face.
And then yeah. Like, okay. Oh, is it just bloody rags? Is bloody everything? This person obviously is having an issue. But because of that, I missed the actual land rush. But it was, there was some tension. It was very much the kind of the classic Black Friday, you know, joke kind of thing happening.
We used to see in the 80s with, you know, Cabbage Patch Kids and whatnot.
Well, yeah, kind of the rush forward.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And tensions were high. But we packed them in up there. We were packed. My daughter that was part of that was like, yeah, Dad, I'm going to box out. I'm like, no fouls.
But true dad fashion. So I'll ask it again.
Yeah.
Was the show that much better 10 feet closer, 20 feet closer?
Certain pieces were.
Okay.
If you're into the pyro, it absolutely was.
Yes, you can get a full suntan. Just on the upper half.
Yeah. there's certain things like Matt Yunkin's low pass is below your line of sight if you're not in the first 20, 30 feet, you know?
Okay.
That's just kind of a for example. If you're into seeing a lot of the, you know, aircraft taxi by, the show planes as well as everybody else, yeah, you kind of going to be up there. Be prepared to crank your neck because it is so much of it is happening up instead of happening forward. You know, is it better? Maybe just a little bit. Is it different? Absolutely.
Sure.
So it's an experience to be had. You know, you're going to spend some time camping out there doing that. But it's an experience to be had. And yes, there is a certain percentage of, you know, grumpy a-holes that you're going to have to deal with. And there's been a few of those posted online. I don't know if you've seen some in the groups.
Yes, most of the groups I belong to. And I think I'm in at least three that are just Air Venture specific groups.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like I also belong to the South 40 and the North 40 group.
Right.
And those just to kind of keep tabs on what's going on and whatnot as we are, you know, a radio station.
Right.
But, yeah, those three AirVenture ones this time of year very much devolve into a lot of grumping. Not exclusively. There's plenty of good content.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Cool stories I've heard.
I like the cool. So I'm a first-timer, you know, and then asking what would be kind of a silly question to people that have been around here for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then watching the people actually be helpful.
Yeah, at first it's like read, you know, search the forum, search the posts, and I get that to a point.
Well, but a lot of them are actually giving them the answers.
Yeah,
you know, and
if
even
you can
to
find
the things
it.
That are the obvious, you know. But there's always trolls both online and in real life, and I saw a few of them.
With the effort that you put in to complain about them asking a question, you probably could have answered
yes,
it too.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know. Where's the fun in that?
Silly. Just silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, a lot of happy people around here. So
yeah, yeah. And not a whole lot to complain about, that's for sure. The night show was a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, we did not have the F-35, F-22 tag team action. Instead, we had the Growler combined with two Corsairs.
Yeah.
Well, a Growler show. It was a single ship Growler show, which I thought that they always flew two when they do that.
Apparently not.
Apparently.
Seemed very bright when they started yesterday. Brighter than Wednesday. It And maybe that's just my perception and not reality.
They both started at 8.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. It's just yesterday seemed brighter.
Well, okay. So the start of Wednesday had the 2 B-29s and the Lancaster that opened it up. So by the time we got to the jets, it had gotten a little bit later comparatively.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I missed the front end of Wednesday's, but saw almost all of yesterday's. So.
And we had the, of course, snowbirds during the, it was the last of the day show, and we again today, I believe, as well. So,
always a great show. I just can't say enough how much I like watching the snowbirds.
Yep.
So.
Yep, the super tight formation and very graceful actions of that. It's not the loud pound you into the ground sounds of a Thunderbirds or Blue Angels style performance. This is a very precise aerial ballet with nine aircraft in the air simultaneously.
They won't take you to Pound Town. So
no, they will not.
But really cool. Just
it's Canadian. It's Kilogram Town.
It's that's true. That one may have physically hurt me.
Ow. Kilogram Town. I guess Kilogram Town. That's much better.
My God. Well, more English or Imperial to metric conversions after this. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Timmy and Jami, the dynamic duo of EAA Radio. Tim and Jami in the morning. Tim and Jami with Hal Bryan. Tim and Jami in Oshkosh. Tim and Jami on the radio. Tim and Jami making TikToks. Tim and Jami on the walkies. Tim and Jami driving golf carts. Tim and Jami losing car keys. Tim and Jami, something's broken. Help. Tim and Jami going crazy. Tim and Jami wearing red hats. Tim and Jami don't exist. Tim and Jami hiding in the office. Tim and Jami at the station. Tim and Jami holding hands. Tim and Jami being silly. Tim and Jami wearing blue shirts. Tim and Jami solving climate change. Tim and Jami for president. Tim and Jami so brackcore. Mr. 920, Mr. Oshkosh. Mr. Wah-Wah. Fireball.
Mr. 920.
While entertaining, that may be one of the more interesting intros we have or bumpers we have. But
yeah.
Somebody chiming in on the texting gateway, if you want to reach us in studio, 920-550-1210, or join the YouTube chat, youtube.com/EAA radio, and click on the live button. Someone just chimed in and said, I saw the Snowbirds' first performance at Oshkosh in 1976, then flying the same type jet. And that was the first time any military demo team performed at Air Venture. They were great then, like an aerial ballet, and still are.
Yes. I think aerial ballet is a very accurate description of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're in and flying the same aircraft, literally probably the same ships that we just saw last night.
And I'm sure I've asked this in previous years when they've been there. What is it that they fly? Because I do not know the answer to that.
So, it's the Canadair Tutor, the CT-114.
Okay.
It's... And again...
114, 115, whatever it takes.
Yeah, and they were... So, that says 1976 was when they were here then. So, cool. That aircraft was designed and was first active in 1971. So
in 76, they were pretty new.
It was a relatively new, you know. Pretty new. It's similar to us flying the F-18s now, you know. it was designed as a trainer aircraft. I would liken it to like the L-39 type missions, although the L-39 is newer than that. But the snowbirds they're specifically different and have embraced that. As we mentioned before, it would not be the same show. It could not be the same show if they moved it on up to the F-18s or something similar.
You'd be sitting a long way away just to see what they were doing, because it could never be that tight a turn in that small a box.
Right. I did just pull up some data on the snowbirds. Did you know that they're you know where their HQ is?
No.
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Of course it is.
Because, you know, Canada. God love them. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have had the opportunity to get up close and personal with the plane a little bit. Of course, all of us here on field could do that because ship number 10 was camped in vintage, because it can be.
Yep.
but the airport where my aircraft is at is a common fuel stop for the snowbirds.
Yes.
So they come in there periodically for fuel and whatnot. It's
on their way to shows throughout North America, throughout the continent.
Yep. So it's not uncommon for us to see one of the snowbirds sitting there.
Cool.
They often, I'm trying to think, I've never seen the whole group of them there. It's like one, two, or three that will stop there at a time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
From the stand this week, I was there yesterday, day before, and unpacking for our show on the stand with Steve Buss, which is done for the week. Thank you, Steve. Absolutely saw one of the snowbird pilots in his full jumpsuit carrying a tent and some chairs and walking just through the grass.
Yeah.
Just doing his thing.
Nice.
Somebody's calling in a correction.
Yep.
Mr. Jim. No, the tutors go back to the early 60s. I was
literally just about to do that. Yep.
I was trying to find the right info.
First flight was 1960.
Yeah.
1971 was the first year of the snowbirds. I did have that one in there. I was about to self-correct, but thank you.
Even when you're wrong, you're not wrong.
No, I was wrong. I was wrong. I read the wrong line of data.
Fair.
On there. So that was, The Tudor does go back to January of 1960 for its first flight. The version that they're flying is a little bit newer. The production run on these guys, it was small. There was only 212 of these made. So parts are a problem. And they were only produced for 3 years, from 1963 to 1966. So.
Wow.
And there's a reason that they were camped in Antique Classic. I'm just saying.
True.
So it is a early 60s, mid 60s era aircraft.
Speaking of vintage, I heard them on the stand the other day, and they were talking about what qualifies for vintage and what doesn't in the three different categories. And we're good.
All right,
we're still good. We're close. But
what are the numbers, by the way?
I can't remember all the breakdowns, but I can tell you that the newest aircraft down there are 1970 and older.
Okay.
So 70 is the current line. Now,
okay.
I imagine that will shift over time, and then we're goofed. Then they're going to park us down there.
Wow. So actually, my Cessna is actually...
It's too new.
It's in there.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
is
68.
Oh, okay. I thought it was newer than that.
Huh. From the outside, you wouldn't think it, but it's a 1968. And then my other one's in 1946, so that one is definitely in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's up there. That's older than my dad.
Yeah. Cessna 140 is 1946.
Very cool.
Other things going on this morning, if you're trying to plan your day, there is no balloon schedule that bumped us off the schedule, or you did something in there to mess with it.
I didn't do it. I did not do it.
Fun. Things, it is a Sunday, so we do have miscellaneous church services happening at the Theater in the Woods. Where is it? I'm trying to remember what time the earliest one started. The non-denominational one, I think, is the... Oh, maybe not. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so that one starts at 8:30. For those that are... Oh, excuse me. The non-denominational service is happening at the chapel in Compass Hill.
Okay.
I didn't realize that part. The other two major services are happening at Theater in the Woods. Protestant services, 9:15 to 10, and the Catholic services... are 10:15 to 11:15. Or as my daughter was reading this to us last night, it was the Protestant and the Catholic ones. So, my youngest doesn't read all of the word when she's like trying to say something, sure, and just hits the first thing off the top of her head. So it was the Catholic one. So everybody bring your pet cats. They'll all be wearing the meow shirts that we were talking about yesterday.
Yep, clearly. I would totally go to that church.
Right. Yes. So there is that. That turned into a discussion of that Saturday Night Live bit where they were always misreading the Jeopardy categories.
Yes.
You know, it says therapist, but he kept referring to it as the rapist.
Yep. Yeah. You didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah. Amongst other things.
Yes.
So. That was probably the calmest one of that list, I'm just saying.
I'll take Swartz.
Yeah. Oh, but yes. So it wasn't exactly incorrect.
Sean Connery and, you know, Turd Ferguson and...
Yep, that's the guys.
Yikes. Good stuff.
So that's one of the things that's, I guess, going on that's specifically different for today. We do have, well, one other thing that is specifically different for today is the air show is at a different time.
Yep. A little bit shorter. A little bit earlier.
It's a little bit shorter.
Not much.
Yeah. But full content. You're not getting the leftovers. This is actually going to have full content to it.
It's 3 hours instead of three and a half. That's right. The very little difference here.
A little earlier.
Starts at one.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that we're going to see the B-52 in the air. So it's going to leave it. I don't have the show schedule yet.
I was going to say, this is simply Jim's thoughts on this, but...
No. We talked to Dick about this earlier in the week.
Well, he said it was going to leave, but...
He said it's going to leave on Sunday as part of the show.
Okay.
So it's going to be front or back of the show to make that go. I wonder if they're going to have the drone up there. Or not drone, but the aerial shot of taking off, yeah, since, you know, had the one of it coming in.
Had one coming in, so... That was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those rare shots that, you know, you see something like that around here and have never seen something like that done like that before.
Because you just can't get that kind of clearance to do that.
Yeah, so. Right.
But apparently, yeah, somebody figured that one out. Yeah. Way to navigate the bureaucracy.
So the buff will likely be heading out as part of the show. That is one of the things about the Sunday show is you see a lot of things that are, they'll take off, do their routine, and then leave. You know, and including a lot of the big ships like the B-52. I don't know that this is part of it at all, but I wouldn't be shocked to see the C-5 do the same. C-5. Did I see C-5? Jesus,
like,
C-17.
There is no C-5. I was like, what is he talking about?
No, the C-17.
Sure.
But I wouldn't be shocked to see that do the same thing.
There's a C-17. There's still a C-130 over there, too, I think. Unless it left yesterday.
Boy, it's hard to tell. You can't see it on the Boeing Cosmic Clamp.
It's also kind of hard because the B-52 would block it anyway.
B-52 is blocking my views.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll figure that out for you and tell you after the break. That's your job, Jim. You got it.
Okay.
This is EA Radio.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
It's here the very day the cranky they complain. They try to entertain us a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all nice, and then we hail nice. Our daily dose of pain, 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 pain.
I'm sure he could tell you. He's probably listening. Unless he decided to sleep in today. He's chimed in plenty this week. Yes, I think that might have been all Mike Morgan on that.
I believe that that is his claim.
It's definitely his prime
fame.
Yes. I think he wrote, recorded, and produced it. I don't know if anybody helped him with it here.
I know that much.
I think he did most of it. I do think he got help on certain aspects on how to, like, the music bed and some of the stuff. But I think he did most of it himself.
Well, if you want to be like our very own Mike Morgan, you can chime in on the texting gateway, 920-550-1210, or join the YouTube chat. YouTube.com/EAA Radio.
We haven't heard from Biz 13 yet this morning. I've got concern for them.
Maybe we should.
I mean, send somebody to check on such them. A regular commenter immediately when we go on air.
Yes. Maybe they slept in it Sunday.
Okay. Fine.
Morning, Jay.
Good morning.
I'd love to be sleeping in right now.
Me too.
Oh, so cozy. Now I took my sweatshirt off. This seems like a bad plan.
You should go for a few more seconds.
Okay, I will continue to banter.
And their Biz 13 just chimed in.
Hey!
Thank you. Finally, now we can start the show.
Whew. Okay. All right. Call off the wellness check, please.
Well, I had news for you, but I'm not sure where it went.
That's a lot of words.
None of those are news. I have yesterday's news.
Cool.
Hold that thought for like 3 seconds and sure. Talk amongst yourselves.
We will.
Literally, as he walks out of the studio.
I mean, he's been doing good all week, so I can't give him too much grief.
Sunday happens. Yeah, well, day seven.
Sunday happens to all of us.
I'm going to mail it in. Thank you.
You're going to mail it in. Great. Right. Not even phone it.
No. Question that came in the SMS gateway, though, mentioned that they, you know, in 2016, that during their last performance, they all pulled into Boeing Plaza for a meet and greet.
The Snowbirds, photo that
session.
Is.
They had the Snowbirds. Will they do that today?
Well, you could ask Dick.
I don't know.
It's
a good question. We'll see. There was something going on as I was whizzing past in my not ambulance.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right at the throat of Boeing Plaza. I don't know what was happening. It was like right at the end of the show, so that you had the Snowbirds on the ground there. I don't know if they did pull up to like the throat of Boeing Plaza, mm-hmm. and were doing a thing, or if some of them, you know, one or two of them or something like that did that. I'm not sure. Again, I was transporting a bleeding person somewhere. So there's that. Oh, hey, look,
sorry,
it's Jay.
I do news.
Jim was just regaling us with his first responder stories, so.
Yes. Yeah.
You perform civic service, is what you would say?
Something along those lines. I was that guy that was charged, hey, look, you've got a cart and nowhere to go. Take this person.
Well, you deserve a statue, much like this person from Madison, Wisconsin, as a new sculpture on the Wisconsin State Capitol grounds was unveiled Saturday afternoon, honoring Vel Phillips, a civil rights trailblazer in Wisconsin, and the state's first black Secretary of State. Nearly 1,000 people gathered to listen to speakers share their memories of Phillips and honor her dedication to community and state. Michael Phillips, Vel's son, said the statue marks a historic moment for Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers said the statue will serve as a powerful lesson for those who visit the Capitol, but especially the young children who tour the building and its grounds yearly. The Vel Phillips Task Force was created in 2020 after it was brought to the attention of Mikhail Johnson, the CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, that there was no representation of people of color at the state capitol.
Hmm.
Coming out of Stephen Point, Wisconsin, dozens of Central Wisconsin community members packed the Portage County Democratic office Saturday to see Doug Emhoff promote campaign efforts. Emhoff's appearance in Stephen's Point comes less than a week after his wife, Vice President Kamala Harris, received the endorsement of President Joe Biden. Stephen Point's area residents showed up to hear more about Harris and to be part of the positive energy they have perceived since Biden stepped down from the race for president. Emhoff retold the events of the previous weekend from his perspective, which included Emhoff learning Biden would no longer seek re-election from a friend while having lunch together in L.A. Emhoff said, "I was looking at her with a combination of awe, pride, and, okay, let's do this thing," after Harris received the president's endorsement.
Not to go into a political conversation, but I was thinking about the Biden stepping down thing. I obviously don't remember that happening, at least in my lifetime.
Not in this way, no. Not that I can.
Has that happened a lot prior to that? Prior to the 70s?
Yeah.
Just curious.
I don't know. I don't know that there was. And history buffs, please chime in and tell me how wrong I am.
Feel free to chime in.
There was. I believe it was a short length campaign for Eisenhower.
Okay.
Because he was another one that didn't really want to serve, but they knew he was instantly electable.
Sure, and somebody stepped aside for that?
No, well, kind of. It was a, like I say, a kind of a short push to put him in. So,
gotcha.
Because he was not really intending on being that you know, that politician.
Well, my point is they would have had somebody else until the short push started.
Technically, this happened before the convention, so you know we're still in that time frame.
We
could be having this discussion if we don't know who the candidate's going to be because the convention hasn't happened yet. So yeah,
that was interesting.
Coming out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the union representing striking Minneapolis parks workers say they have reached a tentative agreement with the Park and Recreation Board. The strike has been going on since July 4th. Local 363 officials add that plans to picket today have been canceled. The union mentioned that more details will be announced soon. Coming out of the neighboring city, St. Paul, Minnesota, text messages informing people they owe money from using Easy Pass lanes, which is like the fast lanes in Minnesota, are fake and are not coming from the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Oopsie.
MnDOT spokeswoman Ann Meyer says it is a scam. Officials say hundreds of people have called their offices that oversee the express lanes to inquire about the charge. The phony messages, some coming from a 613 area code, started arriving on cell phones earlier this week.
613?
613.
Okay. That is not Minneapolis.
What is St. Paul? Anybody?
Well, 612 is. I don't know what 613 is. But.
I forget what the technical term for it when something sits adjacent to... it's squatting of some sort, but I just forget this technical term. But like you have whitehouse.com and whitehouse.gov. You would have like... EAARadio.net and EAARadios.net. And it's so I worked with phones quite a bit, and that it's a national problem.
Right.
You ready for this?
Please.
Ottawa, Canada.
Ah, Canadians. Blame Canada.
Yeah. Please, like please, anthem. Someone save that. I want that as my new ringtone. Jim was singing. And arguably a musical, I think. I'm not sure.
the new hit musical, Blame Canada, is coming to not Broadway sometime soon.
Okay, that's true. Somebody chiming in on the Texan Gateway about our presidential conversation. Last two were President Ford in 76 and President Johnson in 68, deciding not to run again against before those nominating conventions.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, yeah.
Your history lesson for today.
The exception to those, though, is the timing of it. In each of those cases, the sitting president chose not to run for another term well in advance. This was instead of a kind of a, you know, yes, I'm going to go, and then abort, and then go in a different direction. So.
And finally, coming out of St. Paul, Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fair will ban birthing cows and newborn calves from the Miracle of Birth Center due to the risk of bird flu. State agriculture industry.
Take it down a notch.
Hey,
Mr. Indignant.
This has become a major part of the Minnesota State Fair, the Miracle of Life Center. So, but is it just the cows?
State agricultural industry officials say the move out is a precaution of the virus.
Move.
I was gonna go full moo. Hang on, let me collect myself. I'm a professional.
You never ever go full moo.
It is Sunday. Worried about the virus going into the dairy cattle industry, the exhibit will continue to showcase dairy cow calf pairs, but the calves will be weaned and the cows will be dry. In Minnesota, H5N1, which is bird flu, have been reported among 9 dairy herds since June. The most recent was reported on July 17th in Stearns County.
Stearns, Benton County, right around our area, is I dare say a hotbed of such things.
A hotbed of cow action.
Well, no, because it's not allowed at the state fair anymore. Sometimes. So,
I've got a news story for you to wrap up this particular segment. We got another one here. You guys watching the Olympics?
I'm paying attention.
I mean, I'm kind of here, but
yeah.
I did see Snoop Dogg run the torch. So
I did see that too.
I got the important part covered. He did. He ran part of the Olympic torch run. So.
Right. Did he light something with it at the end? Please tell me. Please tell me he did.
That would have been amazing.
But... I'm sure he had something crafted with his own money, so he could.
Right, right. So do you know what the first medals won by the Americans was?
No. Was it the 4x100?
No. It was the synchronized 3-meter springboard, so it's synchronized diving.
Oh.
Do you know the name of the pair that won our first medals of this Olympics?
No.
Not even kidding. It is Cook and Bacon. Cassidy Cook and Sarah Bacon. That is our first medals for the U.S. Olympics.
What a delicious pairing.
It is, yes.
I can't wait for breakfast. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Pre-Flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
So what?
No swearing today, I hope.
Well, we're not done yet.
I hope.
Somebody chiming in on the SMS gateway asking, does Jim live on a farm? So I currently live in a very rural farming community. I do live in town now. I lived on a farm as recently as 5-6 years ago, something like that, when we moved from the farm into town there. But I did grow up on a family farm. So, yes, I'm very familiar with moose. Yes, I have tended to cows. I've milked cows. I've tugged a little teat in my day. So.
Nope.
What about me, Greg?
So news,
Golan Heights
news.
Israel says Hezbollah will pay the price for Saturday's attack in the Israeli occupied Golan Heights. The attack killed 12 children and injured at least 19 others. Israeli officials blame the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, which denies responsibility. The victims were reportedly between the ages of 10 and 20. Israel had vowed retaliation for the attack, which followers and Israeli airstrikes in Gaza. Palestinian health officials say at least 30 people were killed and dozens injured today when a school being used as a shelter was hit. More or less than stellar news coming from that conflict. Coming out of Florida, former President Trump says that hostages held by Hamas need to be released immediately. Trump met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago on yesterday. Trump added that if he wins the presidential election in November, the conflict in the Middle East will be worked out very quickly. He went on to criticize
that was audible, Jim.
He went on to criticize the Biden's administration handling of the war in Gaza, given there would be major wars in the Middle East if Vice President Kamala Harris was in Oval Office.
I understand, Jim. Sometimes
it's grandiose claims by politicians. Period.
Yep.
You know,
if I
get elected tomorrow, we'll be on the moon.
Yes.
No.
Well,
does it work that way?
Fund the Artemis mission.
Yes. But, okay. We'll work towards getting to the moon, I'll believe.
I feel like
tomorrow I'm going to be on the moon.
Again, politicians in general used to be a bit more reserved in their outrageous claims. There are exceptions.
Yeah. Yes.
But you bring up the moon thing, for example.
Yeah.
And Kennedy said, you know, a decade, and they beat it.
Yeah.
So... that's fair. But yeah, I've heard a lot of, I would say over the last 20 years at least of my life, I've heard a lot of outrageous claims.
Yes.
One more story from former President Donald Trump. He says that he plans to regulate cryptocurrency.
Is that the point? Of not cryptocurrencies, it's unregulated.
Yeah. The former president spoke at Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville this weekend, where he told crowds, if crypto is going to define the future, I want it to be mined, minted, and made in the USA. He claimed that if he was elected president, he would create a cryptocurrency advisory board to create transparent regulation within the first 100 days of his term. I don't
Those
know
are
how
statements
you make...
made from a place of ignorance. Ignorance in so much that you don't understand the topic on which you're speaking.
Yeah, that's
none of that would work with cryptocurrency, especially the made in the USA.
Yeah,
it is not a tangible thing. You're not producing anything, and at the end of the day, it's money. So you're not you don't produce money anyway. You generate it. A lot of confusion there. It's decentralized, so you're not going to regulate it.
Right.
It'll just move offshore.
Coming out of Kansas City, Missouri, everybody's favorite Super Bowl hero, Travis Kelce, and brother Jason Kelce are working on a new cereal mix combining three of their childhood favorites. The Kelce brothers are partnering with General Mills to release the Kelce Mix cereal, which combines Reese's Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Lucky Charms, and will hit shelves in September.
What's that? Wait, that took a weird turn there.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms in that's no. You have cinnamon, you have peanut butter, okay. And then you throw in a bunch of fruit. Marshmallow. Yeah, then you throw in a bunch of fruity marshmallows. That sounds terrible.
That does sound weird. This inadvertently happens in my house, like, a lot, out of sheer laziness of my children. So
I think Jim's trying to justify eating, you know, three
is this,
kinds of
is
cereal.
Is this the old man, we have the cereal at home kind of moment?
No.
We have Reese's Puffs at home. Reese's Puffs at home are just kicks.
Are the last third of three boxes of cereal that nobody wants to finish.
Kicks.
Yeah.
Everybody hit kicks. No. So we take our I always buy the bagged cereal style, or typically we'll do that. Or buy the like Sam's or Costco sized things and they come
so
in a bag.
The answer is yes, it is that we have the cereal at home.
But because that's not a convenient like dispensing thing, I've got
not.
A little like Tupperware type
sure.
the thing. So the kids will open up a thing and just dump it in there, but they won't like wait until the one's empty. So we have like moments where you're like, I think I'm pouring in one cereal, and you're actually getting a mix of like the last three things that we've had in this container. And sometimes it's okay. My personal favorite right now is the shredded wheat with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yes.
Yeah, it would add flavor to your wicker basket. Great.
But Jim, the Kelceos come with insulin.
Oh.
Insulin in every box.
Fantastic.
Kelceos. Robert Downey Jr. is returning to the Marvel Universe. We were talking about this a little bit last night. The actor made an appearance at Comic-Con on Saturday, revealing that he will play Victor Von Doom in a new Avengers movie called Avengers Doomsday. The Russo brothers are set to direct the film, along with Avengers Secret Wars. Downey played Iron Man since the start of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the character died in Avengers Endgame.
Spoiler!
Okay. Well, one of the biggest movies on the planet.
10-year-old spoiler, yeah. 8-year-old spoiler, something like that.
Right.
It's been a bit. I don't know how I feel about this. That being said, it really depends on if they try to show the dawn of Victor Von Doom, like the, mm-hmm. you know, the origin story of Dr. Doom, or if they just go right to the point where he's wearing the metal mask all the time. So, in which case, okay, well, I can't see his face, so I'm not going to equate him to Iron Man, but that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my problem, is attaching him to previous stories in the same universe. You know?
Yeah, don't put RDJ in that movie.
I'm inclined to agree.
But just, no. That's yeah.
Like,
nothing.
If it's just a vocal thing, like if it is just the man behind the mask and they're paying some stand-in and he's going to be the voice,
I still would rather not.
Yeah. I'd still rather not.
But I can get past that. But if they do the whole origin story and I see his face throughout, that's, as you know, as Marvel loves to do, and they arguably make some of their biggest dollar values on the origin story ones. But interesting.
In other movie news coming out of L.A., the first trailer for the biographical drama based on Bob Dylan's life is out. A Complete Unknown is based on the 2015 book Dylan Goes Electric and stars Timothy Chalamet as the iconic singer-songwriter. It follows Dylan's life in the form of the early years of his career in New York City to him plugging in his electric guitar in 1965 at the Newport Folk Festival. The trailer shows Chalamet as Dylan walking the streets of New York and singing the 1963 protest song, A Hard Rain's a Gonna Fall. The film is expected to hit theaters this December.
A lot of the source material, of course, coming from Dylan's hometown, originally Hibbing, Minnesota.
Yep.
And Timothy Chalamet hung out in Hibbing for about a week, kind of going through the high school and checking out the spaces and talking to people that were around during that time and stuff like that. And I believe that some of the, I don't know if they were shooting the movie per se as much as they were shooting a lot of the like kind of background imaging and
right.
stuff like that in both Hibbing and Duluth, because he was in Hibbing, but his musical career really never happened. Not much happened there. That really started more in the Duluth area. But
in the bustling metropolis that is Hibbing. Your music career didn't take off.
turns out, couldn't even go to Chisholm. You know, for those that know the battle between Hibbing and Chisholm,
Minnesota humor.
there's like three people out there that know that joke because it's which one is the town and which one is the suburb of each other, and both residents argue about it. I think so.
I just giggle every time I hear Timothy Chalamet's name. Have you ever? I'm sure you've probably seen clips of Graham Norton, which is a British talk show. Yeah, have you seen the one where Florence Pugh is on, who starred, by the way, with Timothy Chalamet in Dune 2?
I don't know if I've seen the clip you're referring to, though.
So she talks about meeting Timothy Chalamet and how her grandmother met Timothy Chalamet, but every time she sees the name, she knows how to say it. She knows what the name is. She thinks to herself, oh, there goes Timothy Chalamet-bing-bong. And that's what Grandma knew her as. So when she met her, there's a whole story about how she called him Timothy Chalamet-bing-bong. So go Google it, folks. It's good stuff.
And I am bringing this back from yesterday because
Bring it back.
We didn't quite get to it. But the drug lord who founded the Sinaloa cartel with Joaquin El Chapo Guzman has also been arrested in El Paso, Texas. Ismael Zambada Garcia, known as El Mayo, the leader of the largest cartel in Mexico, has been arrested. NBC News says Zambada founded the Sinaloa cartel along with the now jailed El Chapo in 1987 and quickly became one of the DEA's most wanted criminals. The agency had a $15 million reward out for him as of 2021.
Nice.
Wow.
So somebody...
Anybody cash in on that?
Did not say. I'm going to guess if it was somebody internal to their...
I suppose they probably keep it quiet if they do.
I mean...
Exactly. Alan's motioning, like holding a big check. That's sort of like, congratulations!
Yeah, the DEA will give you your
anonymity with it, I hope.
Just like the state lottery systems, you got to do the big check.
Indulge my conspiracy theory for just a moment. Yeah. If you were the head of a cartel like that, and you were like, things are getting a little hot and heavy, and or I'm getting a little old and I want to retire. How do you do that?
You go to prison.
You just turn yourself in, go to prison. You're probably the safest spot for you at that point.
True enough.
I think he might have just retired. I mean, so he went into the U.S. You said it was in El Paso?
It says El Paso.
So this Mexican drug cartel head wanders across the border into the U.S. and it's like, oh, and I got arrested. Yeah.
I mean, that's a fair... I'll indulge it.
Okay.
Indulged.
Okay. All right. Speaking of getting hot in here, Pat St. John's up next with the weather. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's Patrick St. John is a meteorology enthusiast. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from Flight Service before you go flying.
Tambourine. What beat are you on?
I don't know. My own.
Oh, yeah.
Down there playing on 2 and 3 and a half. I don't know what you're playing. Better.
Yes.
Is that hi, Pat St. John.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Yay.
It's Sunday.
It is Sunday. Day 7 of Air Venture. Again, Air Venture today. What a week.
Week.
And then all of that stored up energy in the atmosphere that has not been hitting us.
Here comes the kinetic, folks.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, it's actually not going to be as warm as I was expecting it to be today. So that's the plus. If you're looking to pack up, today is not going to be sweltering to do so. High about 79 today. It's a little muggy, a little warm from a dew point perspective, but 79 for a high, mainly because overcast skies are making its way in further, quicker than expected. So by around 5, 6 p.m., mainly overcast skies. The rain is intermittent. It's not going to be widespread by any means, but at the same time, I would expect at some point some drizzles and some drips and drops and of the such. So that's really what today looks like. You will be towards IFR ratings later today.
That's one way of putting it. Thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome. So that's today. Tomorrow, warmer, much of the same. Really just overall, mostly cloudy, some sun peeking through, a little bit of rain. Mm-hmm. A Kelsey-O's bag of weather. So,
I would like to give credit where credit is due. So you and I were discussing the differences between sites.
Yeah. Okay. Did you find?
Well, I've kind of been keeping track of this, what you're saying versus what actually happens versus what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. And while earlier in the week, the weather was more accurately tracking where I was looking at. Yesterday, you had it all like right down. So,
well, I appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. So it was exactly what you said was going to be, was what was happening with temperature and timing of everything.
Careful,
so.
You inflate my ego. You're going to have to make this door wider on the way out.
Right, right. Well, see,
you're going to put me through the window behind you.
I do actually admit when I'm wrong. So just keep that in mind next time when I refuse to admit when I'm wrong.
I would just like to point out that he's telling me how right he is about admitting that he's wrong.
Hey. Exactly my point.
Timestamp 7:07 on
yes
July the 28th, 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
We have it on record, provided our loggers are recording. Could very well not be.
Wow.
Yikes! If only we had an IT guy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the weather—he's doing weather right now, so
we have IT enthusiasts.
Ooh. Ooh.
Watch, buddy. You've been helping with that this week.
I stand by my statement.
IT enthusiasts.
Right.
Hey, when you're when you wear multiple hats, you can't be professional in all of them.
True enough.
So, yes. Yeah. Weather is, you know, like I said, warming trend. It'll be higher dew points Monday into Tuesday, if you're sticking around for those that are local. It's going to be warm around here. You were saying yesterday, Jim, you noticed that stories of out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, things like that, heat indices in the upper 100s. So,
yeah. Wow. Fargo was like 110 or 112 or something like that. I mean, it was absolutely painfully ridiculous.
Stifling heat.
That did not make it this way, at least not yet. And I mean, honestly, looking into the long-term forecast here, it's not.
No, I don't see it getting that warm, but in the typical west to east fashion of weather that in this northern hemisphere, that's what you're expecting to see. So,
yeah.
What are our chances of rain and morning temperatures looking like? I don't care about anything tomorrow. Afternoon. Yeah.
Tomorrow, it's going to be about the same as this morning.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit warmer. Getting out of here before 10 or so, you'd probably be fine.
Probably be dry?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Early morning it is.
Later you stay in on Monday, the more likely. You get. Yes.
So fingers crossed we can pull this off, folks.
Yeah.
For those that are looking.
Many of us will be bailing out in the morning, and yeah, that means early morning wake up, pack up everything.
For those looking for the after party, it's 50%
chance. For the volunteers, yes.
Yes. For the volunteers, it's about a 50% chance of rain or not.
Fun.
Isolated
rain. Way to stand on that fence.
Right. Something could happen.
I'm balancing.
Or not.
Yeah.
Well, it's just as equally likely to happen as it is not to happen.
Perfect.
Great.
It's Schrodinger's weather forecast.
Yes.
I'll tell you after it's done.
Right.
Yes. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
I'll consult the weather rock.
That's what the meteorology is based on. I've decided.
Right. Although, again,
you're welcome, Alan.
In Pat's defense, I have also been watching the forecast very carefully for Sunday and Monday for our purposes here. I've watched that very greatly. 20% chance of rain, and it's only going to happen, you know, late in the evening. And we're going to move that up to the afternoon. Now it's 50% chance, and you're definitely going to get soaked. Nope, just kidding, not happening at all. Oh, now we're back to a 30% chance. It's been all over the place on the timing. I think that they're trying to figure out if this is going to be an organized system or not. Is kind of where it's at.
It's really what it looks like. I mean, there's towards the west of here towards Minneapolis, Eau Claire even, there's a much higher, you know, percentage chance of rain and everything like that over there. But by the time you get this further east, it breaks up, dissipates, disappears. So the different weather models, you look at them, and it's just like one says yes, the other one says no.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jay. That spot was bothering me too. My OCDs were driving me nuts all morning. There's a spot on the mic arm. Jay started to rub it off at the last spit. Patty, just to boost your ego a little bit, high praise coming from the texting gateway. Pat's custom analysis currently beats purely AI-generated forecasts. So good job. You're still beating the robots.
Thanks, Mom, for texting in. I appreciate it.
$20 is in the mail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your money's in the mail. Yep.
Very nice. So we had our final whether or nots yesterday.
Yes.
That one was indeed talking to the folks that manage the aircraft, I believe. The aircrafts, both manned and unmanned. Had a good talk about the things that that the unmanned aircraft, aka drones, are doing in terms of the Hurricane Hunter missions. Mm-hmm. So we're not having to fly P-3s and C-130s is what they use?
Something like that, yeah. Well, that they also have a Globemaster.
They have a King Air that they were talking about using. Yeah,
that's right.
You said a Globemaster? That'd be a C-17.
That seems overkill.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
It seems awesome, but yeah, it does seem like overkill.
That was kind of what they were talking about, too, is that they were using the drones to not be overkill for, like, some of the not hurricane related stuff that they were doing.
Send a drone when you know, instead of a C-17. Yeah. It's supposed to probably be a little more efficient.
Slightly more efficient. As efficient as the C-17 is.
Well, all you need are Pepsi cans and little metal balls and you can analyze any weather pattern.
Yeah, right. Dorothy.
Twister. Is Twisters?
It took me a second, but I got there.
Yeah.
There's come on, keep
up. It's one of my favorite movies, but I was you approached it in a weird way, much like putting tin cans into a tornado.
That's true.
There's they actually have a new airplane that they don't have entirely together yet. I think
is it made out of Legos or what?
No, it's still being
outfitted with electronics
with all and things, yes,
and tools and whatnot.
It is a it's a commercial jet that they've you know, a private jet that they've
either of you had computers in front of you, but I mean, it's fine.
Again, IT enthusiasts.
It's a Hurricane Hunter one to drop radio sounds. And there's more holes than previously used. So.
Gotcha.
They have holes that they don't even have uses for yet.
True. No, you're 100% true.
I will find you the name of the plane. It's like a Bombardier. So it looks something of the sort. It's like a
Bombardier.
That's true.
Bombardier's way funnier. Bless you.
It's like a bad Pokemon name.
Bombardier?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there was one called, I forgot what it was now. I had it slipped.
It's not until 2028 that is coming into being, by the way.
The new one?
Yeah.
Is it a Bombardier, or is it something else?
I've got a picture of it, and I'm trying to figure it out here. Stand by.
It's hard to pad by yourself, Alan. You're laughing at me for the Pokemon thing, but everybody else is nose deep, and they left it. Hello, this is the morning show with Jay now.
Right.
I live here. Goodbye.
It's going to replace Gonzo. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. G550?
G4. This is G4 aircraft.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
They are really all in tune.
I know. I was going to say.
Okay, you're back. Hey, thanks.
How's it going, Jay? How's your day today?
Yeah.
I'm a little scared, honestly.
All right.
New airplane. There we go. That's all we need.
New
Dad jumped out of the car while I was moving, and I had to take control.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank goodness. Thanks, boys. But Dick Nipinski's up next, so get out. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the Morning Pre-Flight with Tommy and Santa. Jim. Tommy and Jim.
Ho, ho, ho.
I think this time of year is ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. As we get to this point? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, well. So,
Dick Nipinski, good morning.
Yeah,
good morning. Yeah, it's I see the front of Air Venture today. What a week. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. Yeah, it is. I mean, another tremendous night show last night, and it was fun. You know, the Growlers, if there is a bird asleep any place within about 5 miles, not anymore after that. Anymore. But it. Fun, big crowd again last night, and overall, yeah, just wrap things up.
Let's talk big.
Okay.
So we kept getting, you know, if you're part of the OSH alerts systems, like, kept getting updates like, this lot's full, move on to here. Oh, nope, that lot's full, move on to here. I heard rumor that they had started parking people in some of the areas down by camping, amongst other places, trying to find places to shove cars and shuttle people and things like that. Rumors of record attendance for a Saturday. Can you elaborate on any of that
stuff? Well, we're going to know a little bit more once all the numbers are in. I think we locked the finance department in a room last night and tend to keep adding. It was a very, very good day. I mean, Wednesday was big, and then, you know, the night show last night, the day and night show. You have weather like that, people are going to come out. Mm-hmm. And there are opportunities there to do so, and so they did. And that presents a challenge. And one of the things that we have to do is keep looking at how do we run this infrastructure with campers continuing to come in, because apparently people like airplanes.
Turns out.
And so they're coming in here and taking a look at it. And and just wasn't for the night air show. And they were coming in here. They wanted to see everything on Boeing Plaza. They were up here in the home-built area doing a lot of stuff. The forums were busy. Down in Vintage, they had a lot going on. So, you know, all the areas are really seeing substantial growth over the past decade. And with that, they always say it's a good problem to have, but it still remains, you know, it's a challenge.
Right.
And so you get to do those things. And, you know, kudos to the parking people. I know Wednesday night they were out there late, but they had everybody cleared last night and all the security people sent home shortly after midnight, which, you know, unlike Wednesday, which was a little more challenging, shall we say, They worked on it hard and got to give kudos. You know, in there is the State Patrol, Winnebago County Sheriff, Oshkosh Police, Auxiliary Police, all of those people who help us do this. Because, you know, once we get them off the grounds, people think of this as a whole, that what's it like on I-41 coming in, getting in the grounds, and then getting off the grounds and off onto whether it's I-41 or State 44, State 26, whatever it is, going back home. So, you know, they don't think of it, that's the end of the EA grounds, and this is public highway, so that's two different. No, they think of it as an entire experience. So it's working with all those agencies that make it possible.
And please pause the construction while we're doing this thing.
Yes, and all of that, yeah. And that comes into it, you know, and you tell the DOT, well, that's up in Neenah. That's not going to... yes, it is. Yes, that's going to... So, you know, thanks to them for doing that, because I couldn't imagine if we only had two lanes on the Butamore Bridge going each way.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm glad
it's not pleasant,
open.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
We have somebody chiming in on the gateway, the SMS texting gateway. Says, please ask Dick if the snowbirds are going to be pulling into the apron of Boeing Plaza at the end of their show as they did in 2016 to kind of do the little, you know, meet and greet kind of thing.
The pilots will be there after the show today. This year started an autograph tent, and it's something that was kind of, you know, and you've been here long enough, you know, 2 weeks before, hey, how about if we do this thing?
Yes.
And suddenly there's a tent that appears, and everybody goes, what's that? And it's a performer autograph area. Mm-hmm. And it is on the southeast corner off Boeing Plaza, right near the taxiway where it heads out toward the runway.
Sure.
By the Hillard Air Ops building. Most people probably don't know where that is. But south side of the taxiway, heading toward between Boeing Plaza and the runway. Uh-huh. Small tent there. And the snowbirds are going to be there after their performance, a little meet and greet and so forth. You know, hopefully the weather holds off and you know, we can do that sort of thing. And that'll be part of it. So we'll see if they bring their jets in. You know, heck, they took a jet down to Vintage and camped on Wednesday night. So why not? And so that's anything could happen. But we hope that they'll, at least the pilots will be out there.
Okay.
Talked to a few of them last night. And boy, are they jacked to be at Oshkosh.
Yeah.
They said they're so happy to be here. This is great, and then just and none of the team had ever been to Oshkosh before.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. None of the 10.
Do they have a typical 2-year turnover?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They do. Okay. Yeah, and it's a different mix too. You know, because you've got the Thunderbirds and Blues here that are very much, but they draw from everywhere in Canada to become part of the Snowbirds. And, you know, it was really fun the last couple of days, just watching them, and the skies were great, and just to watch them do their thing. And so happy they're here.
So our final day of Air Venture, but it might be a little shorter and moved up a little bit, but still, you know, a full day.
Still a full day. Air show starts at 1 o'clock, so be ready for that. The crowd line is in force again today. So speaker polls, folks, that's where it will be, and you know that'll be there. Yeah, there are airplanes that are leaving this morning, so you'll have a little more grass room to spread out.
Sure.
And there are a couple people. You can tell it's a long week. There's a guy down by speaker poles down in Vintage, and you could tell there was a row of airplanes that had left because you saw the ghost planes there. And it was, I forget which jet it was, but I looked over there, and he was sound asleep. You know, I forget if it was, you know, the F-16 or...
Was it Fast Eddie?
Has anybody seen Fast Eddie lately?
I think he's still in the chair asleep.
And so, but, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you've had a big week there, sir. It's, that's it. So, he'll be, we'll just mow around him for the next week. It'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the other questions from earlier this morning was B-52, you said, would be leaving potentially as part of the show on today.
Yeah. We'll
Is
have
that
the,
still the plan?
Yeah. We'll have the final what's happening right after this. We usually have the flight line meeting, and they start walking through it.
Right.
You know, weather plays a part in that and everything else. Sure. And so, you know, they'll take a look. Okay. And, you know, those things can fly through anything. But to make it a better takeoff, you want to have some nice weather.
Sure. I figured the same might be true, the C-17.
Yeah.
You know, do the show and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the military guys were hustling around the airplanes today. It looks like they're making some prep. So we'll see. You know, that'll be coming up on the air show schedule.
Right. Per usual, is the tank you're going to sit here for months? Because I think because that's the one from the Wisconsin Air National Guard. Is they're like, you know, we'll move it when you get around to it.
Yeah, we'll get it. You know, it's just.
I'm trying to remember if it was last year or the year before. I came back like weeks later, and it's still there, still sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably nobody needed a fill. So right. Yeah. Well, that's like I forget which year that was. Probably a decade ago. We had the Farmer's Airship here, and the thing, it was parked back there, and then it broke up, had a part break. And so, you know, at the end, we were saying after 2 weeks, you know, Mom, it keeps coming to the house. Can we just keep it?
Right.
Yeah. So it's, but, you know, great week. Kudos to all the volunteers, including you guys. I mean, what everybody does, I think people who come here, and even EA members who just come here, do not understand the number of hours and number of days that are devoted to making your part of the world here work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have discussions all the time. It's like, this thing broke. We need one of those. And suddenly, you know, there's an Amazon bill coming in.
Yes.
You need that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those kind of things. But that happens in every area here that people discover that. It's a group of people that do all their year-round life the rest of the time and then come here. And something that'd be a full-time job for a lot of people, y'all do it.
Right.
And then I think, you know, we can't give you enough credit for doing that. Well, we'll try by giving you a couple beers tonight, but I think that'll cover it. But it's, you know, but yeah, that's the way this thing works. And people say, you know, ask me, how do you guys do that? I honestly say, I don't know. You know, it happens. And
if I remember, it's about 6,500 or so volunteers.
Yeah, it's right around, you know, it's right around 6,000. And the nice thing is the number of volunteers is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few years back, we had about 5,000, 5,200.
Yeah,
we're right around that 6,000 mark now, which means, you know, people come in. And I know, just speaking from press headquarters where we are, you know, we've picked up desk crew and media shuttle to take, so the media aren't trying to keep more golf carts off the site.
Mm-hmm.
We provide a shuttle service for the media, and, you know, we've got close to 30 volunteers just in that through the week.
Right.
You know, there's a great group from Cincinnati comes up, and they volunteer 6 days.
Wow.
And they're driving, you know, 4 hours a day at a time, and they're here. They say, we love it. And, story in the Wisconsin USA Today chain, the Gannett chain, yesterday, talking about the volunteers.
Mm.
And, you know, some of them are 3 generations, 4 generations into volunteering at the EA fly-in, which is tremendous. You know, we can't give them enough credit. So
cool.
I mean, your family's up to 3 already, right?
What's that? Three
generations volunteering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, your parents, you, and your kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So
and he's building a dynasty. So.
There we go. Hey, we like the dynasty.
I'm gonna take the place over here pretty soon.
Yeah,
that's not how that works, Jim.
Dang it.
Yeah, but
thank you. But it's the 30 or some people on our staff that make us look good. So
yeah.
which is a chore. So
yeah,
sometimes.
And Eddie.
Yeah. Well, and Eddie is also part of the group. Yeah. Yes.
No, it wouldn't be the same without Dave and Eddie.
And, so there's been a lot of good stuff that we've generated and we've seen here. You mentioned the Gannett paper doing the thing on there. Is there some outside press that you want to kind of point at?
There's some stuff. The YouTube channels have gone in. Of course, one of the favorites, the Elvis Jet this year, has been a big boost.
We're people talking find to Jimmy that. Today.
Yeah. Yep. And, Jimmy had a project and he said, let's do it. And, about 3 months ago, we looked at it and went, ooh. And, but, it came along. He got it all dressed up and boy, it looks good. And it's been popular all week. Yeah. But, the media, we have more than 800 media on the grounds during the course of this week. And yeah, just the tremendous stuff worldwide. And we're going to be tallying up those numbers and they're awe-inspiring, when we take a look at what the past 2 weeks have been.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Well, we did it one more time, Dick.
That's right.
Same bad place next year.
Let's do it. Fold this thing up into the suitcase here tonight, and then we'll bring it out next year. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dick. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Timmy and Jami, the dynamic duo of EAA Radio. Tim and Jami in the morning. Tim and Jami with Hal Bryan. Tim and Jami in Oshkosh. Tim and Jami on the radio. Tim and Jami making TikToks. Tim and Jami on the walkies. Tim and Jami driving golf carts. Tim and Jami losing car keys. Tim and Jami, something's broken. Help! Tim and Jami going crazy. Tim and Jami wearing red hats. Tim and Jami don't exist. Tim and Jami hiding in the office.
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. Yes, well.
Well,
yeah, we do all
the
things.
It's not just Murph, by the way. You can blame Jasmine for that. I know she worked on it. I don't know if Ricky did or not, but he seemed like he was helping.
I would be shocked if he didn't have his hand in some of that. So
yes, speaking of hands, I'm going to try not to touch anything because I just picked up a bunch of trash outside. Did not have time to wash, but I did sanitize. So
gotcha.
There are entirely too many people. Oh yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
There
thank
you go.
You, production crew.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. So speaking of picking up trash.
Yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah.
So the Oshkosh rule that was here from the very beginning that I was around.
If you see something, pick it up.
If you see some trash on the ground, pick it up.
Yeah.
And there are people that are super active in doing that and keeping the place clean. You put this many people in a kind of a festival atmosphere, and it usually turns into a garbage pile nightmare.
A crud show, yeah.
Yeah, and generally speaking, that's not the case here
generally.
At all.
Seems to get a little dirty.
Saturdays traditionally have been less successful at maintaining the Oshkosh rule.
Yeah.
There has kind of been I won't say it's not even a single thread, but a theme of things that people have been seeing and posting online.
Unique trash.
Well, yes, that too, but just the fact that there is, that there is things like that are out there and probably shouldn't be. So, for example, I am going to start with after the night show.
Yes.
Now, I'll give a little bit of leeway to say, even from my own experience, finding and picking up all of your trash in the dark.
Not
can
particularly easy.
Can sometimes be a challenge.
Maybe keep track of it while you're still holding it. I don't know.
But
I'll be that guy.
After the night air show last night, the amount of abandoned chairs that were left on the flight line was ridiculous. And this isn't all like just broken chair kind of situation. These people are just like, man,
well,
I'm not going to carry
it
back.
It's just lazy.
Yeah, but it's. It is incredibly lazy, but I have a hunch people are like, I'm not carrying this chair back to my car. I'm just going to leave it sitting right here. Yeah. There was so many things there. So that was a bit of a challenge. We have other miscellaneous things that were seen on the flight line yesterday. Mm-hmm. The interesting one that I saw that was just posted, things that were found near a cone by their aircraft was underwear and a pack of cigarettes. Like a pack of cigarettes on top of the underwear.
Sounds like a good night.
Well, speaking of that, there was also the people that were sitting at the flight line that had a sign.
Oh, I...
They had a sign that...
Is it the pineapples?
It had two upside-down pineapples and said, plays well with others.
Yes. If you know, you know.
yeah. I mean... probably got more advertising there than you would on Tinder anyway, so...
Wasn't sure what you were going to say. I think got more advertising. Got it. Goodness.
Yeah, so there was interesting things to be found and maybe some things that definitely shouldn't have been
there. No judgment, you know.
Oh, no, that wasn't in reference to the sign.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do you, and everyone else.
I do want to know if that worked.
Just please, for research
please
purposes.
Please chime in on the texting service, 920-550-1210. Were you a swinger on the flight line yesterday? We'd love to hear from you. Dave shaking his head. Dave, that's what the two upside-down pineapples mean.
There was a couple of people that I showed that.
Don't tell anyone.
I showed that picture to, and they're like, I don't get it. I'm like, nah, I know you don't.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely heard from a few too. I don't get it. Okay.
So.
And that's okay too.
That is also okay. It is also okay. No. The thing that shocked me most, I think, was the. Beyond the trash was the whole chairs. Now, I have seen instances where people will fly in, buy a tent, use the tent, and not want to fly at home because they literally don't have space for it.
Sure.
There's several examples of that. There is a, I think it's a church in town that actively, like, asks people if you're going mm-hmm. to leave something behind, leave it with them, and they do clean it, repackage it, and sell it as used as a fundraiser for that church.
Okay. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a perfectly fine idea.
Yeah.
But I'll give 100% pass to those people that are doing that. You know, they're flying in, they buy the thing,
sure.
They donate it when it's done.
That's their prerogative.
Cool. I'm 100% behind
Don't
that.
Don't leave your crap here.
Yeah. However... I do see a number of people, tomorrow might be the day to do this, do the same thing with their tents, especially if they're wet and they're mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to pack up this, you know, $50, $60 tent that I have here because it's wet and I'm not going to need something until next year. I'll just buy a new one next year. And they just take the whole tent and they throw mm-hmm. it in the dumpster.
If you look at the cost
one of our crew may or may not be a prolific dumpster diver.
Yes.
After the event and finding things. So
weirdly enough, he's also our chef.
No, I'm referring to the other one.
The other one? Okay.
Yes.
That's, yeah, he's, I didn't even think about the plumber. He's definitely...
The plumber definitely is a prolific dumpster diver.
May have already absconded with a TV in a dumpster found at Theater in the Woods. And hey, guess what? It works just fine.
Yep.
Much like the TV he found last year in a dumpster that's now hanging in our production room.
Yep.
So. We're not above dumpster diving, folks.
No,
it's
no.
pretty much the theme of this show, at least.
No, it's interesting the amount of, I'll call it waste that is generated in some of these cases.
Yes.
But and I have no problem with people that are dumpster diving certain things. The lumber out here is ridiculous. The amount of lumber you can get your hands on when this thing is done.
Yep, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
AirVenture Oshkosh, get your hands on some wood.
So. Hey, whatever it takes. So anyway, back to the swingers.
You just can't leave it alone.
I can't.
You know, I don't want them in here, but honest to criminy, shouldn't Dave and Eddie be in here if you're going to get on your old man soapbox rant?
Oh, no, this isn't a rant. I don't think this is...
It's a justifiable rant.
Yeah.
More than most of your rants, but yes.
Fair. Couple things that have popped into the YouTube chat and the gateway that I was going to talk about yesterday. The Skyhawk parachute team from the Canadians had a bit of an incident that actually turned out okay at the end. but showcases a little bit about the skills to be able to recover from what happened there. They had two of their divers, jumpers.
Get a little tangled.
Yep. Yeah, they got tangled. In, you know, so when one turned in, caught the chute on his legs, and it, of course, collapses that chute, mm-hmm. and then that extra weight pulling down started to collapse the chute above them, was able to get it to slide off of his legs, mm-hmm. and it reinflated the wing just probably less than 100 feet, you know, maybe 75 feet off the ground. It reinflated and caught. Turned out okay. You know, they all walked away from it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that that there's going to be some debriefing and some bumps and bruise recoveries.
Yeah, I saw some chatter, strictly conjecture and rumor at this point, but that he may have landed a little hard on the concrete. So.
Yeah,
it was, they checked him out, but
it was an absolute hard landing for sure, because again, you know. As of 100 feet, he was in nearly free-fall mode,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
kind of went poof and caught just in time. So, yeah, that was a few microseconds away from being a different story entirely.
Somebody chiming in on the YouTube that saying they found a brand-new firing in the dumpster, speaking of stuff thrown away.
Yeah.
So,
tell us about the things that you have found in the dumpster. I would be very interested to find out.
There was a chair right over here when I went out to clean, by the way. I did not bothered to see, unlike our plumber, I did not dive in to see if it was a, you know, nice intact chair, but
yeah.
instead I threw trash on top of it because it's a dumpster.
Very good. Other questions have popped in here. Did St. Cloud State no longer provide interns this year for EA Radio, and we'll be recruiting from elsewhere, maybe a nearby UW school? The dynamics of higher ed is changing significantly, including at my university, St. Cloud State University, in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Our internship program is not going to be in the structure that it has
not
been
the
in the
same
past.
Format, yeah.
We do have
a few.
Three active students that were with us this year, two of which were earning credits in doing so. It's not basically it's just no longer a separate course. You used to be able to take MassCom 414 mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. a course, and that course was to come here and help us produce EA Radio. So that structure is not likely to be continuing anytime soon. In terms of recruiting from other places, maybe a UW school, UW Oshkosh, there's been some talk, you know, because I know that you know, the rest of the communications stuff between, you know, Dick and his people on communications and mm-hmm. Hal and publications have leaned heavily on UW Oshkosh, and
yes.
I'm open to it. Maybe there's what I gotta see if I can apply as an adjunct there. Maybe huh?
There you go.
I'll teach a course with them here.
The guy we see most mornings at 10 a.m. on the stand has been bringing up his alma mater for that exact reason. So
that's UW Oshkosh. Yeah. Isn't he like the head of the alumni association?
I don't know that.
I think he at least was. So
good deal. All right. Up next. It's the Hal Bryan Show. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
Does the last day of AirVenture Oshkosh 2024 got you down? Are you struggling with the idea of packing up and heading back home to your real life? Do you feel like a cub flying into 100-knot headwind? Then you need Now That's What I Call Hal 2024. This compilation will fill the void left by the lack of airplane noises, sunscreen smells, and Pete's Garage cheeseburgers.
It's kind of a fad, I guess, but that's cute, though.
Are you ready for Now That's What I Call Hal 2024? More than 700 of this week's Hal Bryanisms in one all-new Power Pack collection.
You know, we all, of course, during AirVenture, everybody wears a zillion different hats.
Move into a new dimension with this year's most unhinged Hal Ramblings. All the smash hits from Hal featuring Tommy and Jim.
You can tell them our dark secrets, Amy.
What are dark
secrets? Set your sights on Now That's What I Call Hal 2024. 700 plus essential tracks on one awesome album. To order, call now.
Heidi, I just want to make it clear that he said it, not me.
Now you can have all of your favorite Hal hits right here, right now. Hal gives you nothing but the biggest hits.
I guess I can't say that on the air.
This is the Hal that rocks your world. I get no doubt.
Well, it's all downhill from here.
The Superstar AirVenture Collection has arrived. Now that's what I call HAL 2024.
Now I'm going to recommend a 10 to 15 second delay for reasons.
There's never been a HAL collection like this before, and there hopefully never will be again. Available exclusively on 8-track or cassette. Now that's what I call HAL 2024.
So, identity theft is not a joke, Jim.
Don't let another AirVenture go without Now That's What I Call HAL 2024. To order Now That's What I Call HAL 2024, call 920-550-1210 or send check or money order for $12.12 to 3051 Ide Road, Oshkosh, Wisconsin 54902. Satisfaction guaranteed. If your standards are very low, this offer has already lasted too long. Call now or else.
Oh, my microphone is dripping with irony. You know, it's not like I sit here and think, you know, what sort of peculiar non sequitur sound bites can I carve up for these people?
We do. Yeah.
I finally understand why I'm here. My true purpose in life.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
It's another mic drops. That's why you're here.
Another brilliant move. You know, I hear that and all of the other themes, all the other intros to the non-award winning Hal Bryan show this week and every year, and I just think to myself, what if they used their powers for good? What if they turned this talent towards
what
something?
Fun would that be?
Well, none whatsoever. Exactly. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
That was truly a collaborative effort. A number of people helped me on that. I got to call out Jay for grabbing a lot of clips. Alan for helping me piece the clips with specific music. Yes. Ricky for the voiceover. There's just a ton of people that worked on that. So thank you all.
I did nothing.
By the way, clearly. The best part about it is I named the file that the cart in the automation system the initials of what it is, like an acronym.
Okay. So
now that's what I call HAL 2024. Comes out to Nitwitch 2024. So. Nitwitch. Yes.
Well, that's going on the back of my car.
Nitwitch.
I can tell you that. It's funny, it's still called a cart system, huh?
Cause well, they still use that terminology.
We still use that term for the individual
element
file,
numbers,
and it's still called a cart deck, even though there's no cartridges.
It's when I you know, dabbled in radio and voiceover in college. You know, we were recording on actual carts, which I reminded me is somewhere between like an 8-track and like an Atari 2600 cartridge or something like that. You'd plug them all into the slots, right? Am I remembering this correctly? And then they would just magically play.
It was a never-ending loop of tape.
It was essentially like a specialized 8-track.
Yeah, it's 100% 8-track. It's the exact size of an 8-track cartridge.
Yeah.
I've seen ones
around his station.
It's a never-ending loop of tape that by the time it hits the back, you know, the last piece, it's already started. The first one cues with a tone that's above human hearing, so you can't hear it, and yes.
You know, at my age, a lot of tones are above human hearing. Yes.
Especially after the air show.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, what a week indeed, as your paper says.
Yes. So. What else can you say? You know, this has just been incredible.
So I see your coworkers are on strike because you weren't able to find one. So.
Well, you know,
he wanted the stickers for himself.
Yes, exactly. I just want to plaster myself with "I was on the radio with me"
pictures of your own
stickers
head,
and things. I don't think it's set in stone, but we have something of a loose tradition that we close out the week without. Without one more reinforcement for you guys to torture me.
That's fair.
And, you know, I mean, after yesterday with Bud Davis,
yes,
and
I'll just bring Bud back anytime.
I'll just be licking my wounds for a while. He had so much fun doing that.
Well, that's good. It's hard to tell based on his delivery. So.
Yes, exactly. But, he's a bit Statler, a bit Waldorf.
Yes, but, he plays the part of curmudgeon perfectly.
Oh my gosh, he was born into it.
Nice.
Good stuff. So other than your obvious favorite hosting duties here.
Clearly.
What are some of your highlights for this week? So things that stand out, at least.
Oh, my gosh.
Things that you could still remember by Sunday.
Exactly. Now, what day is Sunday again?
Today.
When
today
does that happen?
That's today.
Okay. So, yesterday. Anyway.
Yes, what happened yesterday, then?
What happened this morning?
If you can recall that far back.
Look, I hate to sound just so maudlin and corny about it, but honestly, the absolute most rewarding and gratifying thing for me is helping the people I work with just do good stuff all week. Not only productive and managing 11 billion little tiny things on everybody's to-do lists and putting out fires and, as I heard on the compilation, wearing all the hats. I believe it was a zillion is the technical term. So all of that stuff put together and then trying to leaven that a bit with making sure everybody's remembering to have a little fun as well. Mm-hmm. And I look back on this week and I'm very proud of the part I was able to play doing that, and it's, like I said, it's absolutely rewarding and gratifying. If you want to talk airplane stuff, of course.
Sure.
Seeing the Lancaster back, seeing the Lancaster with the 2B-29s Wednesday night was
stunning.
Was spectacular. But, you know, having that here in a Spitfire and a Hurricane, and at one point we had two Canadian Tiger Moths on the field, and that's my first love. Next year, there'll be another one on the field, and hopefully we'll have mine and my wife's name on it. So, yeah, that's in the works.
That's cool.
I feel like I just made a big, like a birth announcement.
You heard it here first.
Yes. There's going to be an addition to our family.
We should have popped a balloon with smoke.
Exactly. And horrific injury. Yes.
An airplane fell out.
So you're going to put your face on the big sticker on that, too?
We know some folks. We can talk to scheme designers.
We will get you an entire wrap for that Tiger Moth with your face on it.
I'm imagining the circle insignia and then just hell in the middle.
It's going to be the flying hell Ryan face.
I hate you so much right now. It just feels good to let that out.
That's good. That's good. You've made a real breakthrough today, Hal.
I have.
Proud of all the work you've put in.
Yeah, for all this and $250 an hour, you guys are really helping me out.
Yes.
Well, that's good. This whole show actually started as an intervention, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't even remember when you started broadcasting it. Mm-hmm. We used to have these conversations. The next thing you know, everybody else is listening and chiming in on the Devil's Highway up there on screen.
It's been a while. You've been with us since the old building, and we've been here quite a while. So
yeah, well, that's when the grandmother thing happened. Yeah. Was
no credit for that.
I know, but I think that was my first time. Period on the show.
I think it was
down in the old building
because you were definitely working social media at the time, which was the crux of that. Question right or wrong.
Yeah, that was your first gig here, right? Was the social media stuff.
Yeah, so I was hired as the online community manager.
Yeah.
And
some experience in. So.
Right, yeah, coming from my last gig at Microsoft. But at that point, it's what we would now call social media.
Yeah.
But it was about building an online community.
Sure.
And at that time, rather than sort of using the tools that were out there, the powers that be decide, well, we're going to sort of create our own walled garden and things like that. And it was a great effort. It was a lot of creative features put into it, but it did not hold up under strain. The website blew up and those things happened.
At that time in development of what became social media, everybody was developing
their own version of something. Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody was trying their own thing. And I was able to pivot into using things like Facebook.
Yeah.
So basically said, you hired me to do a job. I'm not able to do it with the tools over here, but I can use these other tools. And and then fast forward a few generations of social media people, and here we are with more than 1 million followers across all of our channels as of just before AirVenture.
It's just insane. And so many trolls.
It's fantastic.
And so many trolls. Don't be so hard on yourself,
Jim. That's part of the equation. So
we were talking about that earlier today of the how many trolls we see both online and also in the flight line every now and then. There's jerks out there, turns out.
There's that culvert in the North 40. There's actually a whole family of them that lives under there.
Yes.
Yes.
I hope that wasn't a hate crime.
Let's certainly hope not. Hal, I want to thank you once again for coming in and gracing us with your presence for 7 straight days. That also sounds corny, but I do really appreciate it. So,
well, and
the highlight of our social media director's week, by the way, was when you liked one of her reels that she posted of the studio, really? I believe. Yes, I heard a lot about that. She was.
I'm a big
Brian liked it.
Yes,
I'm gonna go on record. I'm a big Murphy fan.
Okay,
so
as are we.
Even though I'm baffled by a lot of the sort of the references. It's like I pick up TikTok and she's just moving really fast, and you know, I'm you're dangling keys in front of a baby. It's just, oh, look at the shiny movement.
Absolutely.
But she is a kick.
She is.
So good for
Thank
her.
Thank you, Hal.
Thank you, guys.
We'll do it again next year.
It means the world to me. Absolutely.
All right.
Let's do it again tomorrow. As you guys are packing up, I'll just be sitting here.
Yes. As soon as you put me on the payroll. Thank you.
We'll see here at 7:45 tomorrow and help pack up. Thanks.
All right.
Thank
Take care. Guys. This has been the Morning Pre-Flight. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
We're done. A good time. Stay tuned for Hot Start. It'll be worth it.